See? I told you! Now capture him!
Which one?
No, I don't care which one! Get them both!
That man's an imposter! That man is the imposter!
There can't be two Spider-Men.
Let's take them both in!
Hold on a sec. We'll have a showdown to prove which of us is the real Spider-Man.
I am from beyond. Listen, and all you desire will be yours. Welcome to Spider-Man and the Secret Wars. Prepare for battle.
Shockphobia Fest.
Welcome to Brattle World. I am your host, the ever-amazing, ever-spectacular Spider-Dan. And in this podcast, I spotlight entertainment's best-kept secrets that a mainstream audience may find boring. And welcome to Shockphobia Fest, a month-long celebration of All Hallows Eve's most frightening films and comic spooks. And welcome to Shockphobia Fest 2023. We've made it this far. I believe this is the fourth one thus far that we've done. So it's been a journey and a half, but we've got a huge, amazing lineup for you. If you are a patron, you've already had part two of Shockphobia Fest already, way at the beginning or end of September, whatever date it came out. I can't remember. But yes, it's going to be a great month. We're going to have this one. Then we're going to follow it up with Trick or Treat from 1986 with John Hammond. We are then going to have our top five witch movies with Lucy Jane Devane and Scott Hodgson. And then we're going to end it out with Deadly Friend with Tonya Todd. What a wonderful lineup of guests and topics and Halloween-themed goodies. Will there be tricks? Will there be treats? We will decide on that as we get to them. But today, we're going to look at a comic book. Big surprise. And guess what? It's Spider-Man again. Yes, I know. It is my go-to. I mean, I've probably done more Batman on this show by this point, which is fair, to be honest. But yes, it is a Spider-Man comic. And again, it is a kind of a piss take of a Batman comic, which we did cover in a previous Shockphobia Fest with Dan Kietis. I will leave that link in the show notes. You know where it is. It's going to be there, if I remember to put it there. But yes, we are looking at Spider-Man, the short Halloween, which is a short comic, so it's about 39 pages. I decided to pick up the collection, the short Halloween collection that was available on Comixology, if you want it. And it comes with not only the story itself, the short Halloween, but also has various issues of Spider-Man Family around this time, around the same kind of era. And there's a few cool little stories, like when Harry comes back from the dead, how does Peter, you know, navigate that? There's one where he goes and tries to get a job as a CSI photographer with his friend Carly and soon-to-be girlfriend at the time. And there's a few other kind of stories as well about, you know, there's some Aunt Spider-Mam stories. So that's an alternate universe where Aunt May became spider-powered. And there's also, I think there's a couple of Peter Porker stories in there as well, and all sorts of kind of wonderful, bizarre, good, nice, short stories as well. So it's a nice compilation. It's about 150 pages in total, but it's a nice compilation of stuff that's kind of coming out. And it's all on the humorous side to a degree. There's a humorous slant to most of those stories, which is quite interesting, because so is this one. Not only is it a humorous Spider-Man tale, it is also written by two incredible comedic talents, Bill Hader and Seth Meyers. Bill Hader, you will know from Saturday Night Live and Pineapple Express and Superbad and various other comedy films. I think he's in a show called Barry. You'll know him. You'll have seen him in something, or you'll have heard his voice, or he wrote South Park for a while, voiced some characters on there. He's done amazing things since he wrote this comic. So yes, and Seth Meyers now has his own talk show, was a writer and a performer on SNL, and has done various other things with different TV shows, but he's now hosting his own late night show. So they've done very, very well for themselves, but deep down, they are massive fucking nerds. And of course, Marvel came to them being New York based, being comedians, being comic book fans. They went, hey, fancy writing a Spider-Man comic? And they jumped at the chance. Bill Hader is a big fan of writing with other people because he gets that gratification immediately as opposed to waiting for the audience's reaction. That's his preference. So we have a story that is set on Halloween night, and Spidey does not like Halloween night because it's just known for being raucous and there's a lot of confusion, bizarreness goes on, lots of people in costume getting in the way and confusing things, which leads directly into the plot. So before I get started on that, again, the short Halloween is written by Bill Hader and Seth Meyers. The art is by Kevin Maguire. If you are familiar with the comedic version of the Justice League, that's the Justice League International, or the Bwahahaha years of the Justice League. They weren't all Bwahahaha moments, but they did lean into the comedy a bit more than maybe some of the stuffier JLA stuff of earlier years. But there was still, you know, a fair bit of seriousness, and also a fair bit of, you know, superheroics came first, comedy came second. And it's kind of not unlike this story. And Kevin Maguire was one of the artists on that run with J.M. DeMatteis and Keith Giffen. The name was escaping me then. But yeah, I've not read that run. I've read partially some bits and some crossover stuff. I've heard very good things. I do have a volume of it, and I will get round to it eventually, but not today, sir, not today. For we're talking about Spider-Man, and we're talking about short Halloweens. So it's Halloween night, as I said. Spidey is chasing down a jewel thief called Fumes. He is a supervillain who, of course, straight in with a comedy, he has made an armored suit and lots of gadgets and stuff to be a supervillain through his dad being a vacuum repairman. So he's learned the tools of the trade, and he's flying around and throwing off all these fumes, and Spider-Man's trying to chase him down and get those jewels back. While this is going on, we meet a group of people. We meet a guy dressed as Shaun the Dead. We meet a guy dressed as Hunter S. Thompson, most likely from Fear and Loathing, that version. And there is a very, very drunk, aggressive, and completely inebriated version of Spider-Man. There's a guy dressed as Spider-Man. He's known as Ronnie. So I can't remember the other friend's name, so I'm just going to call them Shaun or Hunter S. Thompson whenever they come up. So forgive me. They're probably mentioned in the book, but I have forgotten. And they are leaving the club, and they are in a bit of a heated exchange between two men that are dressed as Dr. Octopus and the Green Goblin, because Ronnie, the man dressed as Spider-Man, has drunkenly tried to start a fight with them because he's starting to believe he is in fact the real Spider-Man, and believes them to be the real Dr. Octopus and the real Green Goblin. This is kind of very, it's avoided, this confrontation, this brawl, very, very quickly. They jump in a cab and they're off. However, the Green Goblin and the Dr. Octopus, who were trying to hit on a young lady, and they ruined it with Ronnie coming in and spilling drinks over them and things like that, they hear where they live, or at least the area of where they live. So they do manage to track him down, but that's not just yet. So they're on their way home, and Ronnie is not the most likable. He's a bit of a slob. He's a drunk. He doesn't pay things. He breaks stuff. He's the worst kind of tenant or housemate you've ever had. And fair play, I've been a pretty shitty housemate on a good day, so I completely understand where he's coming from. And, you know, I've been there. I've done it. I've lived with shitty housemates. I've been a shitty housemate. We've all been there. We've all done that. So I completely can I can see both sides of this equation. And yeah, his friends are taking him upstairs. He's got to chuck up, so he goes into the alley. This same alley is where Spider-Man is chased down fumes to. It's on the adjoining rooftop. So Ronnie's chucking his guts up in this alley, and Spidey finally is like, "Ha-ha, I've caught you, fumes, and you jewel thief, you evil jewel thief. I'm going to get you now." Fumes is very new to this. He's nervous. He's like, "I'm going to go to jail. I'm not very good. Oh my God. This is Spider-Man's chasing me. He's going to beat me up. He's going to kill me. Oh my God." And he shoots a kind of a device at Spidey. I think he misses, but then it goes back and hits him in the head. And then he falls down the fire escape and then ends up in the alley in the on top of Ronnie. And they end up in the same kind of, formation of bin bags. Garbage bags, whatever you want to call them. And Ronnie's friends come down, Sean and Hunter S. Thompson come down, and they're like, "Come on, mate, let's get you to bed. Pick him up, take him upstairs, lead him upstairs to safety. Let's put him in the bed and let him sleep it off." And then Fumes comes down and he retrieves the body of Spider-Man and he works for a group called the Furious Five, and people keep mistaking him and this group to be the Kung Fu Panda villains. Not villains, the heroes, the main group that Poe's part of in that. And they're like, "Yeah, we should really change this name." And so we have that. So Spidey is taken away by Fumes as a hostage, because he's like, what do we do with an unconscious Spider-Man? Do we kill him? Do we, ransom him? Do we use him as a hostage? What do we do? What do we do? So the villains go, and they're going to meet him at this kind of foundry or kind of work site. It looks like this building's going up, basically a construction site, I guess is the word, construction site. And we also go up to the bedroom, and Cheryl, the girlfriend of Ronnie, is looking for Ronnie. And this is where the twist in the tale comes. I don't know if you spotted this from a mile off, but Ronnie has been taken by Fumes, and Sean and Hunter S. Thompson have taken the real Spider-Man, Peter Parker, upstairs, because he is unconscious as well, and mostly unconscious, to sleep that off. Cheryl, Ronnie's kind of put upon, angry and unhappy girlfriend, comes and is like, "I want to speak to him. I want to talk to him. He's a piece of shit. I want to give him a piece of my mind." They're like, "He's drunk. Let him sleep it off." And they're like, "No, I'm coming up there." And she goes up there, and the Furious Five turn up at Fumes with Spider-Man, the unconscious Spider-Man, and Badger Teeth. So I forgot to list the Furious Five. So a bunch of very odd and original characters, funnily enough. So we have Badger Teeth, who's kind of almost like a Sabretooth-esque character, but he's a badger. You have Mr. Think, who is the leader of the Furious Five, who's just he's got a big brain. And there is Gossip Girl, who is a woman with several mouths all over her body. So she's got mouths on her hands, on her shoulders, I think one on her neck, one on her face, obviously the usual one. And then we also have Haymaker, who is a man who can just produce silly amounts of hay. So we have this very, very unusual group of villains, all made for laughs. So we end up, Cheryl ends up going upstairs, and she discovers that is definitely not Ronnie. She pulls the mask away. It's Peter Parker. She doesn't know it's Peter Parker, obviously. So she just thinks it's some dude. And she gets a face full of webs as well when the web shooters go off. And then just as they realize that, the Green Goblin and Doc Ock arrive. Not the real ones, again, but these drunken guys they almost had a brawl with turn up, and they want to beat up Spider-Man. And then while that is happening, again, Fumes, he's having doubts. He's thinking about back to his dad and his vacuum cleaner days and how disappointed he would be if he knew what he was doing and what he's considering doing to Spider-Man, because more than likely they're probably going to kill him or do something along those lines. He's not entirely sure this is the life for him. They all arrive, and Badger Teeth goes absolutely insane and starts trying to murder everyone because they all disagree that they should kill Spider-Man. And he's like, "No, let's murder him. We can be the Furious Five, the guys who killed Spider-Man." He's just going absolutely mental and throwing everyone, beating them up. Gossip Girl's trying to bite him with all her various mouths on her body. Haymaker's just shooting hay at him, and he's like, "Oh no, he's tearing through my hay like everyone else does anyway." So there's a lot of kind of gags and humor throughout this, and it's a fun little story. It's not going to be up there with your, you know, your classic Spidey tales by any chance, but it's a nice little kind of diversion or distraction if you're looking for that. That's kind of what this story is about. It's not meant to kind of break the world or break new ground on Spidey or the Marvel Universe. It's just meant for a laugh, and it's a silly, charming little book. And yeah, it is enjoyable. So the Green Goblin and Doc Ock attempt to beat up Spider-Man. It doesn't go too well because it is the real Spider-Man they're trying to fight. But Sean accidentally gets thrown out of the building, and Spidey has to save him when they're trying to because the Doc Ock and the Green Goblin and try to smash like their 16-inch TV or something, and they're like, not the TV, whatever you're doing, not the TV. And then accidentally he gets knocked out the window. Spidey saves him, he's fine. And there's a moment where Hunter S. Thompson's trying to record the fight, and she's like, the real Spider-Man's here having a fight, and he can't get a good image of the fight. It's all blurry footage and stuff. So there's a lot of humor. Again, there's a lot of throwaway gags. Miles may vary. Miles Morales may vary on whether the humor works for you or whether it doesn't. But I think if you go in with a kind of tongue-in-cheek kind of attitude to it, I think you can enjoy it. I don't think it's going to make you necessarily laugh out loud, but it might make you smirk or smile. But yeah, I don't think it's raucous. I don't think you're going to wet yourself crying or laughing, or you're not be crying with tears or laughing, you know, until you wet yourself. It is just a fun, charming little story. And yeah, so anyway, I'll carry on with the story as well. So the Furious Five again get into this fight over Ronnie, who again is not the real Spider-Man. That's again where the humor comes from, because they're like, we're gonna do it. They're taking it so seriously. We're gonna murder him, you know. And while this is going on, Spidey notices the fight that's not far away from them, and he tries to get there in time. And all the while, Fumes has decided he's going to make a stand. He goes, no, I'm not going to let you do this. I'm not going to let you kill Spider-Man. This is Spider-Man to me. This is the real Spider-Man. So he's like, he's having that heroic moment. And all the while, Badgerty's like, you know, I was part of loads of other supervillains groups, but I killed them all because I've got an anger problem. So it never really worked out. And, you know, I hope this one might be different, but it's not. I'm going to have to murder you all again. And then just as he's about to kind of attack Fumes, Ronnie wakes up and knocks him out with a crowbar, saving the day. And this is when all of his friends turn up. Spidey turns up and he's like, oh, wow, job done. And while, you know, Ronnie is being congratulated and Cheryl's in love with him again and all her friends are so happy to see him and make sure he's not dead, you know, Spidey's like, where did Fumes run off to? And then Fumes runs off to re-deliver the stolen jewelry, and, you know, leaves a note from the Furious Five or whatever he renames them as. But yeah, it's a fun little book. I think the backup stories are a nice addition. I'm glad that it wasn't. I would have been annoyed if you paid like a graphic novel price for just the 39 pages. I think that would have been shit. But I mean, I think you can buy it just on its own as that, which was fine. But I just thought, why not get a few other comics in there thrown in? You know, it's not going to hurt, is it? So I got the full one. I don't think it was that expensive. It was only like a £5 or £7 at most. So it's not a big deal. But yeah, I probably should have said spoilers for the start, because I can't, a 39-page comic, I can't really talk about without spoiling it. But yeah, there's a lot to enjoy here. There's a lot of fun to be had, a lot of kind of throwaway gags and, you know, a lot of visual gags, like Kevin Maguire's, like, his facial expressions, the faces he manages, the expressions he get. It's almost like kind of like Gurning, but I think you kind of have to do that to get that kind of humor across, and like the way they're feeling. I think he's really good at those kind of expressions, and it's just what you need in this kind of story. Like, he knows comedy, he knows comedic comics, and I think that's probably why he was paired with these two, because, you know, they're inexperienced at writing comics or humor, or because again, humor is all about timing, and comics, it's tricky to showcase time passing. I think it can be difficult, so sometimes a joke that would work on TV or on film or even on radio would not necessarily come across the way they normally would do. So I think they were a good pairing. I'm glad they chose to bring in Kevin Maguire, because again, his artwork is actually really good, like quality like stuff anyway. I'm like, even I know this is a humorous book and it's silly, but you know, he draws a mean Green Goblin, he draws a mean, you know, Doc Ock, even Spider-Man, you know. And the difference, I like the difference in the quality of the costumes between Ronnie's costume and Spidey's costume. You know, they don't, the characters don't notice, because that's the point and that's where the comedy comes from. But the design and the, you know, the attention to detail I like. And again, a lot of these gags are very throw away, or it's just like, oh yeah, of course, that's silly and that's stupid. But I think it's fun. It's a fun little read. And I think if you're a fan of Spidey, or you're a fan of these comedians and these writers, actors, whatever you want to call them, just all around creators, it's here for you. It's what you would want and what you would need from this kind of comic. But yeah, it's nothing like The Long Halloween. It's like the exact opposite of The Long Halloween. Do not go in thinking you're going to get a 12-part saga that's going to change your world, it's going to be your Spider-Man year two or anything like that. Don't do that to yourself. It is a comedic book. It is a short book. It is here for a good time, not a long time, I will say. So yeah, so check it out. I've enjoyed it. Again, you can buy it on its own, or you can buy it in part of the collection. I think there might be also be a different collection. There's probably several collections it's in, but I chose the short Halloween collection. And yeah, and it's been great. It's been a good little laugh. I've read it before. I had fun with it, and I thought it might be one to look at. I did consider doing the Danny Ketch Ghost Rider stuff, but I think maybe I'll save that for next year, because that's like a 7-issue thing. So maybe I'll do that with somebody else as well. We'll see what comes up with that. But yeah, I would recommend this. I think it's fun. Again, is it going to change your world? Is it the best comedic comic I've ever read? No. Is it the worst? By far, no. But there's something here. There's definitely something to enjoy. I think your average Spidey fan, or even Spidey fan that's not necessarily maybe into the comics, I think this is but they enjoy the comedy. I mean, Spider-Man isn't really the star of the show, so bear that in mind as well. He's not an active participant in a lot of the story. So that, again, miles may vary between that and whether they want him, you know, cracking jokes and wisecracks and quipping and thwipping. Do they want that? If they want that, there's a fucking shit ton of other Spider-Man books you can find that will have that. If you don't mind kind of taking a break and having something from a different perspective and from two quality comic writers. I don't know if they've written any other comic books, but it might be worth looking up. But I really like these guys. I like their comedy. I've always appreciated them on any level, or when I see their involvement in anything. So again, when I saw this, I was like, shit, I've got to read this. This will be hilarious. And again, it's good. It's quality. It's fun. But again, maybe don't expect the, you know, the wheel to be changed or anything like that. But it's quirky, it's fun, it's a little off, you know, off kilter, let's say, from your regular Spider-Man stories. But again, you know, Stan Lee does this. He writes these short comedic, or had, you know, he did do this until, you know, he passed away. He did do these kind of short comedic based, you know, comics, because that's what he knew best. He liked doing those kind of cheesy gags and things. And there's a lot of that in here. There's a lot of that kind of energy of those classic Stan Lee, you know, comedic short comics that he'd write, and all those gags and those type of things. So there is that kind of old kind of Marvel bullpen energy about it, which I like. But yeah, I would recommend it. I think it's a fun read. I think it's been it's been something that I think other people should experience. But again, it's very throwaway. Like, again, not going to change the world, not going to change Spidey's web of life, web of destiny, whatever you want to call it. It's not going to shift anything on the axis, but as a fun little throwaway Spider-Man comic, longer than an issue, probably two, It'll do for me. Again, thank you guys. My patrons will get this early, even though it's going to be the second one. It will come out on the regular feed first. I know it's been a weird way of doing that, but I've just not found the time to record this by myself. But yeah, you're still going to get early, and I'm going to be away during the first kind of end of September, going into about the 10th of October. So I might not be fully available all of the time, but I'm going to still be on social media. I'll be doing stuff. I'll be posting. So you can still get hold of me if you want. And then when I get back, I'll have recorded everything. So I'll have recorded the Witch podcast. I'll have recorded the Deadly Friend podcast, but I won't have edited them by the time I get back. So I'm going to edit those very quickly by the time I get back, get those out, make sure everything's out on time. But I want to do these two first before I went away. They're there, ready, edited, ready to go for you guys to enjoy them. So again, it's one of those things where every time I'm like, oh, I've got to make sure we do this early. Let me crack on, make sure we organize it, get it done. And obviously life gets in the way and people aren't free and there's illnesses and various other things and things get in the way. Life gets in the way. And of course, I've managed to have to record them, all four of them, in the space of a week. Standard, typical. But that's just my life. And again, I don't mind doing that. I don't mind putting the work out there for you to enjoy, because that way it's going to give me more time now to sort out the other podcasts for November and then December. I've got a head start in December because we're going to use one from the Patreon that I released last year, and we're going to release that on the main feed this year with Tony for Better Off Dead. So you'll get three original alternativity stories this year as opposed to the four. But you know, it's the Tony's podcast from last year that we did. We did it as an extra one because we thought, you know, because there was potential that people were going to drop out or someone's going to be ill. So I said, can we? He was like, oh, I really love that film. I was like, right, let's do a podcast. If I need it, I'll use it. If I don't, we'll release it next year and I'll put it on the Patreon. So that's what you're going to get this year. If you haven't already heard that on the Patreon, you're going to get it in the main feed. And yeah, everyone can enjoy it. It's a really good one. It's a really fun. The film is not for everyone. Again, it's a comedic film that, again, miles may vary on whether you think it's funny or not, but there's fun to be had. So thank you guys again for supporting me throughout this year. I know it's been a bit of an up and down year for me emotionally, financially and various other things, medically, you name it. It's been a bit of a fucking roller coaster, I will say. But I think some of the very best podcasts I've done this year have come out of that, because in direct response to that, I think some of the best podcasts I've done. I think World War II month, as hard work as it was and organizing, I think it's some of the best stuff me and Andy and any of my guests have ever done on this podcast. So I'm very, very proud of that. And I hope you'll enjoy Shock Phobia Fest and Alternativity Stories. And then next year, it's going to be a little different. There's going to be a few changes, nothing major, just same stuff. Just I might veer in, one direction or another, but I say that every year and then it doesn't fucking happen. So we'll just see. But I'm still here, not going away. I'm still plugging along, doing my thing. You guys are great. Please stick with me. Please, I know not every episode is for you. Not every podcast is going to be for you. It's not going to be in your interest, but there's always going to be one that you like, and there's always going to be one that is for you. Most people, or maybe every so often, just maybe, get out of your comfort zone. Every now and again, just get out of your comfort zone. I would highly recommend it, because I've luckily, got out of my comfort zone. I watched the High School Musical films the other day, so that's me getting out of my fucking comfort zone. I do recommend it sometimes, but it's always nice to go back to something that's, that you really, really enjoy and those type of things. And that's why I revisit Spider-Man. And we'll no doubt, me and Tony will get back on the Clone Saga next year as well. Hoping maybe we can do two. I'm hoping next year, just to get the ball rolling on that one. And maybe some other stuff as well. We'll see what happens. Again, I'm not going to plan it too much. I'm going to plan it a little bit, just to get an idea and, have a few new voices in there. That's my main plan for next year. I don't know why I'm talking about next year all on this short podcast that should be short, but there you have it. But there's a lot of stuff going on, but it's all good. It's all positive, moving forward, things rolling on. But yeah, no, it's been a tough old year, I think, for everybody I know. It's been some form of difficult. And I appreciate everyone that's been able to join me and do all of these things. I know we're not at the end of the year, but this is kind of where I'm starting to kind of, it's gonna pick up, and it's gonna be the end of the year before I know it, because there's gonna be so much I have to do. But again, And that's another thing. So I'm going to try and do as much Patreon stuff, but it might just be a lot of early releases just because things are ramping up very quickly. And I know I'm not going to be able to get people sat down and things will happen. Things will get in the way and whatever. But yeah, so I'm going to try and do early releases more so than the episodes. But then in the new year, I will jump back on and we've got lots of stuff. We've got Alien Month next year and all the other good stuff. And I'm going to have a lot more. I'm going to try and get as many new voices on as possible because I think that's important. But while still having, you know, our mainstays and our classic guests, you know, they will definitely return in some form. But thank you, everybody. I hope you are enjoying Shockphobia Fest. This was part one of four. It's going to be shockingly good. So stick with us, and I hope all of you have a wonderful All Hallows Eve.